Can you still remember the name of the previous Assyrian king? In what manner did Sargon II squash rebellion? Have you heard about like father, like son? This is how he handled this stuff. I'm so glad the Lord does not force us. He asks us to do things. And we have to make the decision. There's no force in the kingdom of God. Only choices. You're looking at forced deportations. This is not the work of God. He's regarded by some as the greatest military figure in Assyrian history. The greatest. Look at his achievements on this map. He just added more and more land, territory to his own. Here you can see exactly what happened here. Assyria destroyed Samaria. What about Jerusalem? The next target. His successor, called Sennacherib, the man on your left. He ruled from 705 to 681. What does this writing tell us about Sennacherib? This is a great study. Many things except mentioning the 10 tribes of Israel. What could be the reason? There was no more 10 tribes. They were gone. Samaritans took their place. Here we are at Samaria. By who and when was Samaria destroyed? By two kings, Shalmaneser V and Sargon II. From this time, the Assyrian annals only refer to Judah, Jerusalem. This helps us to detect the chronology. They were gone. 2 Kings 18:13, and in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. What a military disaster. The great Sennacherib came and took them all. Well, I'm going to concentrate on just one of the all. There were, I think, 46 in total. And this is the one we're going to visit. This is called Tel Lachish. Lachish. A very important one, guarding the route from Egypt to Jerusalem. Besides the Bible mentioning ancient Lachish, we also have ancient clay tablets confirming the existence of this fortified city. And I discovered this somewhere else. Let's get into an old taxi to take us into Syria and see what we can discover about Lachish in Syria. This is the place we found. It's called Ebla, a marvelous archaeological site. And all the clay tablets haven't been translated yet. More truth will be coming out from this place. And we got into a museum about 30 k's from the site of Ebla called Idlib. And there's a display of some of the 10,000 clay tablets. And for the sake of this lecture, we're going to only concentrate on one city that it mentions here, the city of Lachish. There are many biblical cities and characters, people mentioned on these clay tablets. Oh, I'm excited about this discovery. So Ebla cries out, yes, the Bible is true. There was a place called Lachish. It's written on our stones. Loretta, are there any other archaeological proof that confirms the destruction of Lachish, the place where you're walking, my child? Let us visit Nineveh in Iraq. Here's the old man standing there. And he tells you about Layard, the English archaeologist, in 1845, he discovered palace reliefs of the siege of Lachish. So you can watch how they went to war, the weapons they used, and how they destroyed the city of Lachish. This is the only one we have in archaeology. Now, where did he display the destruction of Lachish? He's from England. Where do you think he took it to? He took it to the British Museum. Let's go and have a look at it. You're looking at the man without a head. That's Sennacherib. Somebody was mad at the old man and they took off his head. Laird's translation of the inscription. Next to the question mark, you see some cuneiform writing. So let us read the translation of that writing. Sennacherib, the mighty king, king of the country of Assyria, sitting on the throne of judgment before or at the entrance of the city of Lachish, Lachish-ha in Sumerian, I give permission for its slaughter. So there you see the king behind the caption here, looking at the script there, and this is what he says, I gave permission for its slaughter. Verse 13, and in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Archaeology? Yes, it's true. Here was the actual picture of the taking of Lachish. The city, as we know from the Bible, writes Layat, besieged by Sennacherib when he sent his generals to demand tribute of Hezekiah and which he had captured before their return. Evidence of the most remarkable character to confirm the interpretation of the inscriptions and to identify the king who caused them to be engraved with the Sennacherib of Scripture. This highly interesting series of bas-reliefs contained moreover an undoubted representation of a king, a city, and a people, and whose names we are acquainted with, and of an event described in Holy Writ, Austin Henry Layard. You can read it in ancient Near Eastern texts. The Bible says it. Archaeology confirms it. In 2014, I visited this place. I've been there many times before. But a professor, which I usually meet at Jerusalem, with his team and with the Hebrew University, discovered the level for the second time where Sennacherib destroyed the city, and a later discovery by Nebuchadnezzar. So the Bible and the stones cry out. You can believe this book. And you know, when I get there and I see the things which I've read in the Bible, it does something to my heart. I say, thank you, God, for the science of archaeology. The professor's name is Professor Michael Hazel from Southern University in America. Why does Lachish make me excited? Excavations here at Lachish and the surrounding areas confirm the fact that Sennacherib destroyed them, Lachish and the other places. Stone panel depicting the battle. Look at this. For the first time, we got this information. And now you can imagine the fear of the people inside when this was all happening. For the first time, we see how they waged war. look at these peoples with a bow and arrow. Except for the arrows, burning torches and stones were also hurled into the city. They were disobedient, and this is what they reaped. Of what does the battering ram remind you? Look, have a careful look at it. Our modern cannon. There it is. They were continually pounding against the wall until it collapsed. Do you see the crew in this ancient tank? There's one. Inside, there are another two, just behind them. And they've excavated missiles at the main gate while the battle was raging fiercely. So the people of Lachish, people of Judah, hit them with these missiles. But you know, missiles will not give you the victory over your battles. Only God can give it to you. What are these Assyrian soldiers doing? We've seen this picture many a time, flaying the people of Lachish. As long as Israel were obedient to God, he protected them. And what do you see here? Shame. People from Lachish taken into captivity. This is so sad. This wasn't God's will. Disobedience still leads us to exile. Maybe you're in exile right now. God can help you out. Lessons to be learned. Look at this shame. Pleading, please have mercy on us. With the Assyrians at the back, on their way to a strange land. Some more pictures of how they dealt with the people they've conquered. The prophet Nahum warned that their persistent cruelty would lead to their extinction. Now this is Israel and Assyria. What is our greatest sin? I discovered a statement which really made sense to me. Our greatest sin is the inhumanity of man toward man. How do you treat people? People are so precious. Your enemies are precious. How do you treat them? The strongest argument in favor of Christianity and the gospel is a loving and a lovable Christian. God wants you to be the second person. The loving and the lovable. After the destruction of the Assyrian king, he left this very sad message for future enemies. Sennacherib, king of the universe, king of Assyria, sat upon a house chair while the booty of Lachish passed before him. And this is portrayed in this relief. The cuneiform message on the hexagonal prism, known as the Taylor Prism, gives a graphic account of Sennacherib's military campaigns. This is interesting. It says those 13 years prior to the destruction of the city of Lachish, he also invaded Judah, but was unsuccessful in destroying Jerusalem, the capital of God, capital of the people. He was unsuccessful. Listen to what he did. He says, as to Hezekiah the Jew, he did not submit to my yoke. I laid siege to 46 of his strong cities. I besieged and took 200,150 people. Himself, that's Hezekiah, I made a prisoner in Jerusalem, his royal palace. Like a bird in a cage, I increased the tribute to be delivered annually. He couldn't capture Jerusalem, but he said, you will pay more taxes. And he left. The Bible gives us the exact amount of the tribute Hezekiah had to pay to the Syrian king. Now this is amazing. The exact amount from Hezekiah's perspective. And what about the other side? 2 Kings 18:14. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. 30 talents of gold. Is the figure correct? I have a pleasant surprise for you. The clay prism also mentions the exact amount of tribute. Can you remember how many? And guess what it is? 30 talents of gold. I like this. Here's the prism, and here's the Bible. For some unknown reason, Hezekiah stopped paying his yearly taxes to the Assyrian king, and this caused his second invasion of Judah. Sennacherib had only one aim in mind, the destruction of Jerusalem. Was God going to allow him to do it? You know, God will not allow anyone to do you harm if he sees there's some good in you. Sennacherib's destruction of Babylon, let's look at this in 698. He came to Judah in 701. But let's look at this. You're looking at the relief of one of the major battles of antiquity. Just look at this. They used camels, bow and arrows, captives bringing their tribute to the Syrian king while others prostrate themselves in the ground pleading for mercy. Look at this, pleading for mercy. There was no mercy. Only God is merciful. Armed soldiers hastening on to battle. Look at the wagons, horses, soldiers. Amazing detail of the Syrian artistry, all etched in stone almost 2,700 years ago. After Sennacherib destroyed Lachish, he went to a place called Libna. Can you see it on this map? Right on top there. Here he received news of an Egyptian threat by Tirhaka. So he wants to destroy Jerusalem, but here's another challenge. Tirhaka is coming to fight with Sennacherib. Here you see Tirhaka under protection of the god Amun. So archaeology confirms the Bible, and Bible confirms archaeology. Does the Bible tell us about Sennacherib's reaction to the threat? Yes. 2 Kings 19:9. And the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia. Look, he has come out to make war with you. So again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, was God distracting Sennacherib from destroying Jerusalem, sending this great Egyptian army to prevent him to destroy Jerusalem? His spokesman gets on his horse and heads to Jerusalem with this message. Verse 10, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Because Isaiah said, you will not destroy the city. Hezekiah, God is going to protect you. Now this messenger says, Hezekiah, don't believe the prophets. And he says, verse 11, where is the king of Hamath? And I've been to Hamath, a beautiful place in Syria. The king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva. He says, listen, Hezekiah, you've seen this on Facebook. how I destroyed these places. Nothing is left. Do you think you will survive? Verse 12. Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my father have destroyed? Hezekiah, think again. Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar, they're gone. Nothing left, Hezekiah. We are the mightiest army on the face of the planet. You will not escape. I went to Syria and searched for Hamath and found it next to the Orontes River. Beautiful place. When I visit these sites, history just rushes through my mind. One of the kings that Sennacherib defeated ruled over Hamath. And in Louvre, I discovered the info. The Bible is true. Verses 11, you're looking at a water wheel at Hamath. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? There's a guy, you've got the facts. Where are they? While looking at the latest excavations in Jerusalem, I thought of King Hezekiah. Humanly speaking, Israel had no hope of escaping the Assyrian threat. No hope. The mightiest king of antiquity threatens to destroy him. Have you been threatened by death? By an enemy. The prophet Isaiah used to live somewhere here in Jerusalem. You're looking at the place. Listen to the comforting message to Hezekiah and to you and me. This is the broad wall that they've only discovered recently. Hezekiah was not left without hope. Isaiah sent him a message saying, 2 Kings 19:20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "The Lord, the God of Israel, says, the prayer which you have made to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, has come to my ears. If you pray, your prayer comes to his ears." Does he listen to our prayers? Yes. 32. For this cause the Lord says about the king of Assyria, he will not come into this town or send an arrow against it. Not one arrow. Not one arrow. They are the best arrow shooters in the world. He will not come before it with arms or put an earthwork against it. This is what they did. They put sand and build up a ramp to enter the city. Listening to the Bible story, Loretta is asking us, are you facing a life and death crisis? Are you without hope like Hezekiah? Except for his deadly weapons on this relief, he also had another weapon which he was going to destroy Jerusalem, which he was going to destroy the city. What was it? Hezekiah prays, "Dear Lord, no earthly nation ever escaped the wrath of this superpower. How will you protect us?" And maybe you are asking God, "How are you going to get me out of this mess, this threat, this disaster?" And the Lord answered, 33:34. Hezekiah, by the way he came, he will go back to Nineveh. And he will not get into this town, says the Lord. For I will keep this town safe for my honor and for the honor of my servant David. And God is saying this to you, if you come to him, repentant and confessing with your need, not with your deeds, your need. 35. The angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Syrians, and 185,000. And when the people got up early in the morning, there was nothing to be seen but dead bodies. Every time I visit Jerusalem, I imagine 185,000 corpses lying there. One angel, only one. God is still listening to us. Keep on praying. It took only one angel to devastate the mightiest army on earth. One angel. The God of the Hebrews had prevailed over the proud Assyrian. The honor of Jehovah was vindicated in the eyes of the surrounding nations. In Jerusalem, the hearts of the people were filled with holy joy. Ah, we thought we would be dead by now, and now the enemy is dead. And here we have some eschatology. At the end of time, God is going to destroy the enemies, and you will be filled with holy joy. No one to be feared in heaven. Their earnest entreaties for deliverance had been mingled with confession of sin and with many tears. This is the secret. In a great need, they had trusted wholly in the power of God to save, and he had not failed them. Come to God in this fashion. Eschatology, it will be repeated. Now, in our next lecture, we will walk in this historic tunnel of Hezekiah. This is a fascinating story. Have you ever been in a very dark tunnel? God delivered his people from the darkest experience in their history. If this is your experience, he is there for you. Please keep on talking to him. Father in heaven, your book is so exciting, so true, so full of deliverance. Help us to come to you in tears, in repentance, and receive your mercy. In Jesus' name, Amen.